We all know how vital trust is in, well, any meaningful relationship, right? It's like this invisible glue holding things together. It gives us that feeling of safety, of connection.
Really is foundational.
But when that trust gets shattered, maybe infidelity, maybe a big lie, some kind of deep betrayal, wow, the fallout is just devastating. I think many of us know that feeling, that raw pain, or we've seen friends go through it.
And that profound impact is exactly why we're doing this deep dive today. We're tackling that really tough journey. How do you rebuild trust after a betrayal?
What's the path forward?
So our mission here is to pull out some really actionable steps, look at the research, and hopefully give you a clear path through what is, let's face it, a difficult process, but maybe a transformative one too.
Okay, and guiding us today, we're looking at a really insightful article from Psychology Today. It's called How to Rebuild Trust After Betrayal in a Relationship by Dr. Kara Gordon's Words.
That's right. We'll unpack what she lays out, and we'll also weave in some ideas from other, leading experts in this area to give a fuller picture.
Sounds good. Because it can feel so final, can it? Like betrayal is just the end of the road.
It absolutely can feel that way. But the article really confirms something important. If both people are truly committed, rebuilding trust is possible. It's definitely not a quick fix, though.
No easy answers.
Not at all. It takes serious dedication from both sides, a lot of time, real patience, and just unwavering effort day in, day out. But the possibility of coming out stronger, that's real.
Okay, so let's say a couple makes that huge, incredibly hard decision to actually try and rebuild. What's the very first step? The article mentions that mutual commitment is kind of the starting gun. But for the person who did the betraying, what's their first big job?
Well, once you have that mutual decision, the first pillar is responsibility, owning your actions. And this isn't just a quick sigh.
Not just words.
No, it's about genuinely acknowledging what you did and the deep pain it caused. And the key thing here is it's not about beating yourself up endlessly, but showing real, authentic remorse, empathy. Truly seeing the damage.
That sounds incredibly hard to really sit with the pain you've caused without getting defensive.
It is. It's often a struggle, I think, between managing your own discomfort, your guilt, maybe your shame, and truly validating the other person's raw hurt. It's easy to want to minimize it.
To make yourself feel better.
Exactly. And this is where someone like Dr. John Gottman, who's mentioned in the article, his research is so valuable. He talks about attunement and empathy.
Attunement.
Yeah, basically actively seeing your partner's pain, validating it, saying, I see you're hurting, and I understand my actions caused this, without making excuses or trying to fix it immediately, just being present with it. That kind of radical acceptance, it starts to lay the groundwork for more open communication. It helps rebuild a tiny bit of safety for the person who was hurt.
So once you've had that really honest acknowledgement, that taking of responsibility, the next big challenge must be actually showing things are different. Consistently.
Bingo. Because words feel pretty empty otherwise, right?
Cool.
So that brings us to pillar two, reliability. Consistent actions over words. This is where trust gets re-earned, like one small action at a time.
Brick by brick, you said earlier.
Exactly. It's less about big flashy apologies and more about the everyday stuff. Does the person keep their promises? Do they respect the new boundaries that have probably been set?
Oh, boundaries are key here.
Crucial. And showing dependability in all areas, not just the one directly related to the betrayal. Studies back this up. Consistent actions work way better than just saying, I'll change.
You have to walk the walk.
You have to show it over and over until that pattern of being trustworthy starts to feel real again. It's that predictability, sometimes people call it boring predictability, that actually helps the betrayed partner's brain start to feel safer.
Okay, so you're building reliability through actions. But emotionally, things are probably still all over the place for the person who's betrayed.
Oh, absolutely. It's rarely a straight line to healing. Which leads us right into pillar three, understanding, embracing that emotional complexity.
Because they might feel angry one minute, incredibly sad the next, then confused, maybe scared.
Maybe grieving the relationship they thought they had. All of it, often jumbled together. And this asks a really important question of the person who betrayed. Can you handle that? Can you stay patient and understanding through that emotional storm?
That takes immense strength, I imagine.
It does. The article stresses that healing takes time and setbacks. They're normal. They're expected. Often, the betrayer just being present, even when faced with anger or tears, without shutting down, is incredibly powerful.
Just staying there.
Just staying there. Holding space for their partner's pain. Acknowledging it isn't necessarily about you in that exact moment, but as part of their processing. That empathy, that support, it's vital for rebuilding that emotional connection. Without it, the betrayed person just feels isolated in their pain.
So we've got responsibility, reliability, understanding. It feels like these need something to tie them all together, a way to navigate forward.
Precisely. And that's pillar four, communication. Specifically, the power of transparency. This is the linchpin.
Okay.
I mean, think about it. Good communication is key in any relationship.
Yeah.
Right? But after betrayal, it's absolutely critical. We're talking honest, vulnerable conversations.
Difficult conversations, I bet.
Very difficult. Both people have to be willing to talk openly about the betrayal, express feelings without attacking, and clearly say what they need to move forward. What are the new rules? What are the expectations?
Getting it all out on the table.
Exactly. Creating a space where the hard truths can be spoken and, importantly, heard. Where the betrayed partner can ask those uncomfortable questions and get honest answers. That transparency starts to build the new kind of closeness, hopefully one built on truth this time.
But doing all that, the honesty, the vulnerability, managing the emotions, that sounds like a massive undertaking for a couple on their own.
It absolutely can be overwhelming, and that's perfectly okay. Which brings us to pillar five, guidance. Seeking professional help. There's zero shame in needing a guide.
Right, the therapist.
Exactly. Therapists offer that neutral space, you know. Somewhere both people can talk freely without falling into the same old defensive patterns. The article mentions Dr. Shirley Glass and her really important book, Not Just Friends.
Yes. What's key about her work in this context?
Well, she really highlighted how devastating emotional infidelity can be, sometimes even more than physical affairs, because it breaks that unique bond of intimacy. She stressed that therapy isn't just about fixing the person who betrayed.
It's about the system.
It's about the system, yeah. It's about systematically dealing with the secrets, understanding the vulnerabilities that maybe led to the situation, and intentionally rebuilding that exclusive emotional connection, creating, as she put it, walls and windows, transparency within the couple, boundaries outside. Therapists help couples find better ways to talk and really understand each other's needs.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Now, beyond fixing the immediate damage in the relationship itself, the article also talks about individual work, pillar six. Personal growth.
Yes, this is such an important point. Rebuilding trust isn't only about the couple dynamic. It's also a huge opportunity for individual growth for both people involved.
How so?
Well, both partners ideally commit to some personal development, looking at their own issues that might have played a part, or just processing the trauma itself. For the betrayer, maybe that's exploring why they made that choice, issues around boundaries, self-worth, maybe poor coping skills.
And for the betrayed?
For the betrayed partner, it might be about rebuilding self-esteem, figuring out how to trust their own judgment again, reestablishing that sense of personal power. Research on relationship resilience actually shows that when partners support each other's individual growth journeys,
they do better.
They're much more likely to rebuild something stronger, more appreciative. It's about becoming better individuals, which naturally makes the partnership better, more conscious.
Okay, and that brings us to a really sensitive area, but one that's vital for a long-term relationship. Pillar seven, rebuilding intimacy.
Ah, yes. Hugely important and often very tricky after betrayal.
Because trust is so linked to intimacy, right? Physical and emotional.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So rebuilding it needs immense patience. Respect for boundaries is paramount. You absolutely cannot rush this. It often needs to be completely reimagined.
Reimagined how?
It usually starts with non-sexual connection first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, holding hands again, maybe shared hobbies, deep talks about hopes and fears, intentionally creating moments of shared vulnerability or even shared joy. Small things.
Building back slowly.
Very slowly. Approaching it with real sensitivity, gradually building that sense of togetherness again at a pace that feels safe for both people, especially the betrayed partner. Physical intimacy often only really comes back when that emotional safety feels solid again.
It's not a race.
Definitely not. It's a careful reconstruction. Every step forward needs to feel safe and earned.
Wow. Okay, so these seven pillars, responsibility, reliability, understanding, communication, guidance, personal growth, and rebuilding intimacy, they feel really comprehensive. And you mentioned they're grounded in work by people like Dr. Gottman and Dr. Shirley Glass.
That's right. Their research really forms the backbone for a lot of these practical strategies. Gottman on Attunement and Bids for Connection, glass on the dynamics of infidelity and repair.
And the article also mentioned Dr. Sue Johnson.
Yes, and her emotionally focused therapy, or EFT. This adds another layer, kind of a broader psychological framework. EFT really focuses on our fundamental attachment needs, our need for secure connection.
How does that apply after betrayal?
Well, betrayal is a massive attachment injury. It triggers deep fears of abandonment, of not being safe or valued. EFT helps couples understand why they react in certain ways, those protest behaviors, or withdrawal, it links it back to those attachment fears. And then it helps them repair that emotional bond, creating a more secure connection where both partners feel seen, heard, and safe again. It gives the why behind many of these steps.
Okay, that adds a really helpful depth. So we've walked through these seven pillars, drawing a lot from that Psychology Today article by Dr. Garden-Swartz and these key experts. It's clear rebuilding trust is a huge challenge.
Undeniably. But the takeaway, I think, from the research and these steps is that it is possible. If there's that mutual commitment, if there's sustained effort, These pillars offer a roadmap. It's not easy, but there is a path.
Right. So for you listening, maybe think about these steps. Does one pillar stand out to you more than others? Which one feels like it would be the most critical or maybe the biggest hurdle based on your own experiences or what you've seen?
Yeah, it's worth reflecting on. Because the journey, while tough, can genuinely lead to something profound. Not just getting back what was lost, but maybe building something stronger, more aware.
And that really leads perfectly into a final thought, something that comes directly from the article's conclusion. This whole journey of rebuilding trust, if you really navigate it with care and dedication, it's not just about repair. Mm-hmm. It can actually be a transformative process. It can lead to a relationship that's stronger, more resilient, maybe even more appreciative than it was before the betrayal ever happened. It truly can be an opportunity for profound growth for the relationship and for the individuals too.